If there's a theme running through these readings and the prayers and the Mass today, it's about the humility and the meekness of Christ. So from the prophet Zechariah, our first reading, your Savior will come riding on an ass, the foal of an ass. That's a reference to David, who never mounted a horse. Israel didn't have horses and chariots. That was the Egyptians who had that. And that was seen as a kind of a power move and independence from God. David was dependent entirely on God for the winning of his battles. It wasn't his own ingenuity, and it wasn't the power of his horses. He didn't have a cavalry. But his son Solomon introduced horses and chariots into Israel, and so that was often seen by the prophets as a kind of a denial of our dependence on God and an independence from God. It's like the original sin, Adam and Eve becoming independent from God, and that's where death enters in, that's where sin enters in, etc. So the reference to David and Solomon in that reading from Zechariah is quite clear, but Solomon isn't totally denigrated in that reading either. Solomon was known for his wisdom and his wealth, and his kingdom stretched from the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean Sea, in other words, from sea to sea, vast. And so the Savior, the Messiah, when he comes, he's going to come in meekness. He's not going to come in strength and power. But he is going to be wise, and he is going to have the attributes of God, of which wisdom is probably the greatest one. And so you can see how Jesus fulfills those prophecies. Remember in the Gospels when Jesus is entering into Jerusalem just before his death, he comes riding on a colt, the foal of an ass. In other words, he's fulfilling that prophecy. So the opening prayer for today is, Father, in the abasement of your Son, you have raised the fallen world. I love that image. God in Jesus bases himself, takes the lowest place. There's a self-emptying of his divinity, taking on our humanity so that we might be raised up. So there's a coming down and a going up, just like death and resurrection, which is the whole mystery of our salvation. It's always paschal. Love is dying and rising. It's not just dying, but it's dying and rising. And we see this in Jesus taking the last place, lowering himself, unlike the scribes who are mentioned in that gospel. Jesus here in that gospel passage is making a reference to the prophet Daniel. And in the prophet Daniel, there are these three young men, Jewish, and they're in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, a pagan land and a pagan king. And they have this wisdom that none of the sages, none of the experts, the educated, the trained have. So Nebuchadnezzar has his core of prophets, his core of wise men, all carefully trained, and yet these three young foreigners seem to have more wisdom than all of them put together. And Daniel describes that as coming from God. The reason they were better than all the rest is because they weren't trained by humans. They got their wisdom from God. And so Jesus starts out that passage in today's gospel, Father, I give you praise and thanks because you have revealed to the merest children, the ignorant, the outsiders, not the scribes. You haven't revealed this to the scribes, but to the ignorant, the uneducated. And everything I have comes from you. In other words, he has that meekness. He has that ability, unlike Adam and unlike Solomon, he has that ability to recognize his absolute dependence on the Father. And in abjecting himself, in giving up, in letting go, he has taken our place. He's joined us fully. Not looking down his nose at us and not pitying us and not even having compassion for us, but becoming one of us, taking our place. And the various passages in the New Testament refer to his taking on our sin. Even though he was innocent and sinless, he became sin for us and for our salvation. He took on his shoulders the yoke, the burden of our sin, so that we could be unburdened, so that we could be raised up out of the morass in which our sin has laid us, be freed from the chains of death and sin, and begin to live new life in God. And then St. Paul puts the final cap on that. He says, there's a distinction between those who live in the flesh and those who live in the spirit. And for Paul, the flesh isn't about the body so much as the law. The law, by the time of Jesus and by the time of Paul, had built up from the simple Ten Commandments into hundreds and hundreds of minute little laws that only lawyers could figure out, and those were the scribes and the Pharisees. And they laid that burden on the poor and the ignorant, and it was a bigger burden for them than for the scribes and Pharisees, because the educated could make a distinction between the essentials of the law and the things that didn't really matter so much. So they didn't allow themselves to be burdened by the little detailed laws, but they laid those on the ignorant who didn't have the ability to make those distinctions. And so they were burdened by this. They were pushed down and made to feel stupid and made to feel unworthy. And the scribes and the Pharisees lived a fairly easy life by comparison. So Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Be freed from this excessive burden of the law and receive my spirit. And if you live by my spirit, if you have the spirit of Christ dwelling in you, then you're freed from all those burdens. You're freed to let go of your self-control, freed to allow God to save you, freed to recognize that everything you have comes from God. Even your salvation comes from the cross. It is not something that you accomplished. You can't take credit for it, and you don't have to be burdened by worrying about it, because God has already taken care of it, because God loves you. And so God, in his humility in Christ, takes the last place, dies the death of a common criminal, the worst possible death, takes on the burden of our sin, takes on all of our humanity, even our death, abases himself to the lowest so that we could be elevated to eternal life in God.